Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He took a good-looking human model, right there.
Huh? Cool. That'll get you a lot of dates.
Yeah, right. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Excuse me, Steve.
Are you actually questioning me?
No, not at all.
Phantom redheaded rooster, you. Nick loves it when I consider Minnesota.
I do.
With the whole country watching.
Mom always told me, you can't retaliate. You have to turn the other cheek.
Dishy and Court on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
It was never about the fight.
Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit.
Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Scott Cordishy, the man on the other side of the table, choking down that muffin, is Nick Coit, ABC 6 Sports Director.
And good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you, Nick?
Hey, it's a beautiful morning.
All right, I'll let you swallow
muffin.
And digest that last bite. And I'll say hello to Joe Passarelli.
With the host eat on the air. What's up, guys? Hope everyone's staying safe.
Joey P, same to you. You know, I want to start the show by just giving my condolences to the family and friends of Steve from Assonet. Steve DeCunha is his real name, but Steve passed away this past week. Steve was a contributor to this radio show, a contributor to many of my shows back in the days of The Score. And, you know, we started many, many years ago a thing called the Handicapper's Corner because of Steve, because Steve loves handicapping games, particularly NFL games, as you saw, Nick, the past couple of years here on the show, and he was pretty damn good at it. Well, Steve, unfortunately, he told me about a year ago he had serious, serious heart issues. The doctor told him that almost a third of his heart was essentially dead.
Wow.
And so he knew about a year ago that his time was running short. And I never in my wildest dreams thought that it would be this short, only a year later that we would lose him. But, you know, Steve wasn't just a contributor to the radio program. He was a friend. He was a good guy. You know, I was lucky back in the days of The Score, Nick, to meet a lot of people through that radio station. And, you know, they start off as just being characters, right, and listeners to the show, but many of them become friends. And Steve was one of those guys. You know, Steve would show up. We'd do remotes at the old Torts Bar and Grill or wherever we were on location for The Score, and Steve was one of those regulars that would show up, like a Dolphin Paul, who's one of my best friends in life. And, you know, it's sad because, you know, Steve had his issues. Steve had his troubles in life. But I'm going to say this about Steve. He had a huge heart. He really did. I got to know the man, and I was really sad to hear the news earlier this week. So my condolences to Steve's family and friends.
Well, I'm sorry to hear the news. When you sent the message to us, Scott, it was like, oh, man, really? It's heartbreaking. So my best to his family as well. And I'm just glad that I got to meet him in person. It was a Brown basketball game last season, and after the game, somebody taps me on the shoulder. I look at the guy. I'm like, "Who's this guy?" He said, "Hey, it's Handicapper Steve." I was like, "Whoa, really?" I just the voice didn't match the face to me, and I was like, "Wow, I can't believe this! I can't believe
it's the beauty of radio.
Yeah,
you hear somebody's voice, and it's never what you think it is, right?
No way,
never what you visualize."
And then I looked at him. I said, "You know what? This guy does look like a handicapper. He's got like the sweatpants on, whatever." I'm like, "He's here. He's scouting some things out, you know." So it was really nice to talk to him briefly and just to be able to meet him and, you know, put the face to the voice. That was a really nice thing. So, sorry to hear the news. We'll miss him because he obviously spiced things up. And I know the listeners, he was really popular with people that listen to this show, that listen to The Score.
How many people would text us on Saturday morning saying what were Steve's picks if they missed his appearance on the show?
Oh man, it was awesome. It was unbelievable. My friend John Chapsky, the realtor, was like, when's Handicapper Steve coming back on the show? Like, it was like everybody wanted to hear his picks because, you know, he was so good at it too, and he had that hot streak. I think it was last year.
Yeah. Like,
oh man, so sorry to hear the news, but obviously we think good thoughts, you know, when we think of Handicapper Steve from Missona.
Joe, I know you, any words from you? I know we talked off the air and you got a chance to know him from just calling him every week.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great pure soul, Scott. Just getting to banter with him for 5-10 minutes before we put him on the air. And you're right, the callers really connected with him. It was always one of our most downloaded segments also on the website. And, you know, he sent his heartfelt condolences when my father passed away. I'd like to send my heartfelt condolences to all his friends and family. He was a very warm-hearted man from what I could see, and he'll be dearly missed.
Yep. So,
amen.
Yep. Very well said. So with that, we move on to the week's events, and there's a lot to talk about. And, you know, I want to get into the NBA and NHL. I mean, their plans to return are set in stone. They're ready to go. The NBA has pretty much said, we're starting July 31st, okay? And and here we go. The NHL hasn't given its exact date, but they're targeting the same time frame. End of July, early August for the return. They know what they want to do, just as the NBA knows what it wants to do. Want to get into that a little bit, but I think we need to start off with what has transpired over the last 24 hours. For those who did not hear it or see it, some black stars in the NFL came out with a video message for NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and late last night, Roger Goodell responded to their video message with one of his own. So let's start with the players, Joe. Let's start with the players' video message. And by the way, Stephon Gilmore was one of those black NFL stars that contributed to this, along with, you know, many others. Let's hear that message from the NFL black players to Roger Goodell.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong in silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
So that was the player's message. Again, Stephon Gilmore, I believe, is the lone Patriot representative. I did not see any others. But, you know, guys like Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Michael Thomas, among others, took part in that.
Odell Beckham, Tyrann Mathieu. Like, that is, you're talking about some of the biggest stars in the league.
Absolutely. So that was the player's message to Goodell on Thursday night. And last night, here was Roger Goodell's response.
If you're over mac and cheese.
Well, not that.
Ad, give me a second.
Okay,
ad.
Well, we got to wait for the ad to buffer apparently,
before
we play it.
Oh. I was going to say. Wrong fader there, Joey.
Yeah, no. Give it 10 seconds and we'll hear Roger.
Okay.
Well, I just thought, just listening to that video, it was powerful. And when you watch it, and then to see this last night, I think was even more like, wow, I couldn't believe that this came out.
Here you go. Here's Roger Goodell.
Difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier, and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
All right, so that was Roger Goodell's response last night, essentially saying, we were wrong for not listening to you in your silent protests a couple of years ago, i.e. Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem.
Which, to me, if the league is coming out and saying they're wrong, I think that's a big thing when it comes to the National Football League. The NFL just doesn't do that. They just don't. So by acknowledging that, they're, you know, acknowledging, what was happening, you know, kneeling during the national anthem, led by Colin Kaepernick, they felt like their response was wrong. And that's especially how quick it happened after the video came out with the players on Thursday. You know, I think it's a step in the right direction. I do. I think it's a step in the right direction for the league. Now they got to back it up with action. I think that's the key.
Ironically, in 2018, the league implemented a rule regarding NFL players that they either stand for the national anthem or remain in the locker room. However, that rule has never been enforced because there have been players since that rule was implemented that have come out and kneeled for the national anthem. So it's a rule that they put in place because of Colin Kaepernick, but it's a league that they never enforced.
Right.
So what happens now? Does that league get taken off? I mean, excuse me, does that rule get taken off the books? Do they just continue with that rule being on the books but continue to not enforce it? I don't know. I agree with you, Nick. You know, what are their actions now going to be moving forward?
Yeah, and I think that would be a step, would be, you know, maybe to lift that rule and to allow players to do that and to get their message out there, because I think that's what many of these players that were in this video want to get across, is they want to be supported and they want their message to be heard. They want their words to be heard. And like many athletes right now, like many people right now, So I think it was a step in the right direction. I think the social media mob was sort of coming out and saying, well, they should have directly apologized to Colin Kaepernick. And it's like, well, okay, they came out and they said what they said. You know, it's not going to be perfect. I think a lot of people...
Does this pave the way for Colin Kaepernick's return now, in your opinion?
I don't know, Scott. It's tough to say. I think a team would be now at this point and in this current, you know, state, would a team be more willing to sign Colin Kaepernick? Because I think before, you know, the way that the league was reacting to the protests and the way that teams were reacting to it, I think they didn't want to bring on Colin Kaepernick because they felt like they were bringing on... you know, I don't want to say a PR hit, but they felt like they were bringing on a lot of attention, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually think a team that would be, I think a team that would bring him on would be, you know, not Brave, but I think they'd be more willing to do that at this point in this current state. Now, again, I think Colin Kaepernick, you know, to expect him to come in and just be a starting quarterback for a team, I don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, if you know Colin Kaepernick on the field, you know that, you know, his time with the 49ers, you know, his play had diminished, his play had slipped, and so they made a change of quarterback, you know, partly because of what was going on the field. So to expect him to come in and, you know, be a starter somewhere, I don't know, but you know, could he get a job as a backup, and could, you know, an NFL team take that on their roster and bring on the attention? I think it could bring, at this point right now, it might bring on some positive PR, if you will, for a team that would be willing to step in and give Colin Kaepernick a chance, because he's still looking for that chance in the NFL.
So there was an interesting article after Goodell came out with his apology last night by Dan Graziano and ESPN.com, raising some questions. Okay, now what? And some of the questions that were raised by Graziano were, and we just talked about two, that 2018 rule to either stand for the national anthem or stay in the locker room, does that get scratched from the books? Number two, does this pave the way for Colin Kaepernick's possible return to the NFL? We've discussed that. Number three, does the NFL expect this to get political? I don't see how it doesn't. I think it already is getting political. First of all, this is an election year.
Yep.
Number two, in case you didn't see it, Donald Trump tweeted that Drew Brees should not have backed off his statement, and Brees went back at him saying, no, I did the right thing by backing off, and I now understand why I was wrong. So, yes, this is already political, and it will probably get more so once the season starts and as we get closer to the November election. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's an election year. There's going to be a lot of this talk heading into November 3rd, and I think part of what the message has been this week with all of these protests and with all the people that are supporting Black Lives Matter has been vote and register to vote. I've seen protests where people will show up for the protest, but also at the protest there's a table where they can register to vote, and you're already seeing it with college basketball teams too. I know the National Association of Basketball Coaches came out and said, we'd like for college programs to make November 3rd a mandatory day off so that your student athletes can go exercise their right and to go vote. And I know Mike Martin had said on Twitter that he was intending to do that. Jared Grosso at Bryant said he was intending to do that. So it's an election year. A lot of things are going to become political, especially in the next few months, because we're getting closer to that election.
Another question raised by Graziano, will we hear from NFL team owners on this? I think that's an interesting one, because as we know, Jerry Jones in particular was outspoken about this, the owner of the Cowboys. He took a strong stance against players protesting during the national anthem. Now, does Jerry Jones change his tune, right? Do we hear now from NFL owners on this, or are they just going to remain silent and let Roger Goodell's statement speak for the rest of the league?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Robert Kraft made his statement because he's pledging $1 million in donations to local organizations that are fighting against racism. So there's one statement right there. Jerry Jones actually came out and made a statement with the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see. I think you're right, Scott. I think it does need to be followed up, in different organizations, because you just don't know where some of these owners stand here, to be honest, because a lot of them were so outspoken when it came to the anthem protests a couple of years ago. So yeah, I would expect to hopefully hear from some of them.
And look, I don't want to spend the next 2 hours talking about this or talking about race, because this is a sports talk show, right?
Sure.
And we're here entertaining and talk sports, and we're going to get to that later in the show. But again, this is the biggest story right now that is consuming this country.
Big time.
Okay? And I'm just going to tell you one thing that drove the point home for me. Because look, I'm a white male. I have not only not walked a mile, I haven't walked a single step in a black man's shoes. So I cannot relate directly. I think I have an understanding, but I truly cannot first person relate to what a black man or woman goes through in this country in terms of oppression, racism, etc., because I am white. That doesn't mean I don't sympathize for them, etc. But when I saw this interview, and I can't remember who it was, or I don't remember if I was listening on radio or saw it on TV, but it was a black man talking about when his son got his driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
He had to sit down and have a conversation with him about, should you get pulled over by the police, this is how you need to act.
Whoa.
Talking about how you take your license out, you put it on the dashboard, and you put your hands on the dashboard for fear that if you do anything wrong or slip up, you could get shot and killed. And when I saw that was really powerful for me for a variety of reasons. Number one, I would never think to have that type of conversation with my kids. Number two, my son literally just yesterday got his learner's permit. Literally. So, like, I mean, it was just like, wow. I can't believe that that black people have to have that conversations with their sons or daughters when they get their license. That scared the hell out of me.
Well, and you know what, Scott? That is, I think, part of the core of the message that is being driven home right now by, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and by these protests, is that they want people to understand what they're going through and what they have to teach their kids and how they want that to change. You know, one of the things I've watched a lot of things and read a lot of things this week. And I think that's part of what you can do to, you know, support what's going on is educate yourself and try to understand, because like you said, Scott, I mean, you and I are two white guys that grew up in Massachusetts. Like we won't understand. We can't, but we do our best, to try and understand what needs to change. And one of the stories I listened to this week, Ian called Will Blackman, former NFL star, Bishop Hendricken High School, grew up in Providence. And Will told us a story of how when he was 10 years old, his dad got him a new bike. And that was the first time that Will was put in a cop car, because the police saw him with the new bike and thought that he stole it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's like he told that story, and now Will himself has a 10-year-old son. And it's, you know, one of those things that he has to have that kind of conversation with him. You know, I think he said his kids are smart enough to realize what's going on and realize that, you know, change could happen here. But, yeah, he has to tell a story like that and had to go through that growing up, which is not something that I've ever even nearly experienced.
That breaks my heart to hear stories like that.
Right?
Just like the one that I said. I mean, to have a conversation with your son on how to act if you get pulled over by the police for a minor traffic violation. Let's say you rolled through a stop sign, you were going 5-10 miles over the speed limit, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
The fact that they have to live in that type of fear, black people, that breaks my heart.
And it's part of the core message here. And I think around the country, you know, for the most part, I think it's really coming across well, and these protests are being done well, that, you know, especially as the week has gone on here, I think the protests have really gotten their message across, because we saw what happened earlier this week, especially in Providence, that Monday night with what happened near Providence Place Mall. Just that's not what this is. You know, that was people taking advantage of a situation. You know, the looters and whatnot. And that was obviously disheartening, but that really hasn't taken away from some of the impact that this, you know, movement has had, you know, over the last 10, 11, 12 days. And so, yeah, you're right, Scott. When you hear stories like that, it breaks your heart, especially because you and I have the luxury. And another guy we talked to this week was Will Leviton, who was a walk-on and ended up getting a scholarship at URI as a basketball player, played at classical high school. You know, and Will was, you know, Ian said he's one of the most vocal athletes we've ever covered around these parts. And it's true, because, you know, you could always hear him on the bench at the Ryan Center with URI. And, you know, I think Will made the point, and I totally agreed with him. You know, when you work in sports, sports has just this, it has this different feel to it when you're inside the lines, when you're on the court, when you're on the field, because people from all different walks of life have to come together, especially when you're on a team. And if they don't come together, if they don't put their differences aside, if they don't understand, you know, their teammates and what makes them tick, then you don't have the success that you want to have. And so that's the luxury we have of working in sports, is that you feel like sports itself can be a step ahead and can be an example as to what can happen. But outside the lines, I think the point is, you know, some of these athletes, I listened to the McCourties multiple times this week, and some of the stories they told, you know, those are guys that could be a real, you know, example in terms of educating yourself, because, you know, they say, like, when you once you step out of that locker room, once you step off the field, things are different. Life is what it is. And that's what they're trying to get their teammates to understand, that are white, that are from other races and backgrounds, is that, you know, for an African-American person in this country, you know, these are the realities that they face when they're out in public, when they're, you know, out trying to live their lives, is that, you know, they have to live with the fear of, you know, being pulled over and being, you know, those sorts of things. And so it's part of the core message, and I'm glad that athletes are speaking up because I think they have the platform to do so. And again, sports can be a great example of how, you know, you put differences aside, you come together, you find solutions and whatnot, and you get a message across.
I'm going to close my comments on this by saying this. What Derek Chauvin, the Minneapolis police officer, did to George Floyd was detestable.
Yes.
It was murder.
Mm-hmm.
It was unconscionable. I do, however, my sympathy goes out to the majority of police men and women in this country that I think are good people, that are very brave, doing what they do every day to keep us safe. You know, to see them under attack in the manner that they are is also sad to me. You know, to see them having bricks thrown at them and getting run into by, you know, SUVs, whatever's happening throughout this country in these protests. I understand the anger from the black community. I completely get it. It's justified. But I also feel very badly for our police officers because I believe that 99% of them are good people that go to work every day, that do their job and do it well. And it's the bad eggs like this guy, Derek Chauvin, that stain it for the good people. And I hate that.
Yeah, and I think people need to be careful, too, when we talk about educating yourself, especially on this topic. When you educate yourself, don't generalize. I think we do that too often in this society with a lot of different things, especially on social media. People just, they generalize. They take a group and they say, that group is bad. I don't like what they do. I don't like, it's too general. And when you talk about, yeah, I think of the people that I know that are police officers, that work in law enforcement, whether it's at the state level, the local level. And actually, when we talked to Will this week and he was telling us some of the things that he was telling us, he said, you know, a lot of the people that I've called back in Rhode Island are friends that are police officers. And I've just sort of called to check up on them and see how they're doing. Because it does policing need some reform, especially in certain areas, maybe city areas like Minneapolis? Yeah, I think it's something that needs to be talked about. Absolutely, because we're seeing too many of these incidents. But at the same time, you're right, Scott. I think there are a lot of good people that set a good example every day that you can be proud that they wear the uniform and that are out there for the right reasons. So just be careful to not generalize, you know, certain people, certain groups, because I think you're right. I think you'll find a majority of the time there are people that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to change the reputation, change what, you know, is going on and change this conversation because you want it to be, you know, a better country because the change isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But as long as the message continues to, you know, come across and people continue to talk about it, I think, you know, it's going to spark some change here in this country.
All right. So we've reached the time of the show, or a little bit past that time, where we take our first break. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now for you to join us. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. That's 401-737-1287.
Our phone lines are open.
And you can text us as well this morning. The text line is open at 37937.
Our text line is open.
We'll take a timeout when we come back. The NHL and the NBA are ready to return. Major League Baseball, not so much. We'll discuss that when we come back on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.